I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and The New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Like I said, he stopped me. I see before.
It's mid-morning, September 19th, and Phil Colbert doesn't know why he's been stopped.
Morning, sir.
How you doing, man?
You got your license, registration, insurance?
Yes, sir.
Okay, any weapons in the car?
Nope.
Okay.
Can I get it from my glove box?
Yeah, please.
Can I ask you why you stopped me?
So you can't have anything hanging from your rearview mirror.
So you stopped me for my car air freshener?
Yes, sir.
Air freshener.
The little tree.
The little tree in my window. Yes, the air freshener.
Colbert says the La Paz County Sheriff deputy had been following his silver Chrysler for a while.
So I'm actually driving from work, and I'm actually going to see my dad in Parker. So I work in Havasu. I'm actually going to see my dad, and that's when it all happened.
How long was he following you for?
About 10 to 15 minutes.
And so you're just waiting for him to pull you over?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So that's why you start the phone, because you know he's just waiting.
Yep.
Almost immediately, as Colbert reaches for his documents, the deputy starts questioning him about drugs.
Got my cards in there.
Okay, any marijuana in the car?
Nope.
Okay. You smoke marijuana?
No.
And he asks again and again and again.
Mr. Colbert, when's the last time you did smoke marijuana?
I never smoked.
Never?
I just said that.
Okay.
Unsatisfied, the deputy eventually tells him to step out.
Mr. Colbert, you said there's no weapons in the car?
Nope.
Okay, do me a favor, relax, man. You're still 10 and 2.
It's just what I learned growing up, so my mom and dad always taught me keep your hands 10 and 2, stay as calm as possible.
So if you don't mind, this is where I'm relaxed at.
Okay. Can I have you hop out? I just have a couple more questions for you, and I want to speak to you man to man, so that way you're not doing this and I'm leaned over.
Can I take and fasten my seatbelt?
Yeah, dude.
When he stepped me out the car, then I was kind of weary about the situation where it was going.
Out of the car, the deputy starts to accuse Colbert of not being honest.
Like I said, you're showing me signs of deception, and I'd rather you just be up front with me, man. If you got a joint, I'll smoke. Okay.
How many times do you think he asked you about the marijuana?
Over 10 times.
He's simply unwilling to believe him.
So there's no marijuana, anything like that in the car? Any Nobel? No cocaine? Did you have any objection to searching your car, man?
Yes.
And why did Colbert object?
Because I'm like, you know, maybe as soon as he checked the car, he's going to try to put something in there. Maybe, you know, he's going to try to say I failed.
You mind doing some field sobriety tests, make sure you're okay to drive, man?
Are you serious,
yeah,
man? This is crazy. Wow.
This is
so
crazy.
The reason I want to put you through sobriety tests is your eyes kind of look a little bit glossy.
Really?
And some people just have that glossiness, okay? That's why we do these tests to determine.
What's your name, man?
Yeah, sorry, E-Max.
E-Max, short for Eli Max, a deputy with 6 years experience already with his third department.
I have never heard of an officer pulling someone over for an air freshener.
Do you think this is profiling?
I think so. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Civil rights attorney Benjamin Taylor is one of the lawyers representing Colbert. They're considering a lawsuit.
We're going to be looking at the officer's past, to seeing whether or not he has a history of doing this.
The cell phone video does raise questions.
I ask everybody for every single time I stop.
I do this on every traffic stop.
You take everybody out on every traffic stop?
Yes, sir. This is me doing my job. I ask this question on every single traffic stop I do, and I'm not trying to treat you any differently than anybody else I've ever come across.
So what do you want to see happen?
So I basically just want the next guy to not have to deal with this. When I posted it, I explained to everybody this is not a vendetta. I don't have all this hate in me. I'm mad because, you know, this is something that's a reoccurring issue.
So I'm still standing here.
During the stop, Colbert says after 10 minutes of questioning, the deputy made him wait another 10 to 15 minutes while he checked his information.
Now he's doing whatever in his back seat.
Finding nothing, in the end, the deputy finally sends him off with nothing but a warning and this final thought.
I am going to give you a warning today, okay? But maybe in the future, just like I said, man, if you got to join, we're not looking for a joint.
Okay.
Thanks. Drive safe, all right?
Yep. All right, so I want to talk to you guys today about how to survive a traffic stop. You know, how to survive that traffic stop from like a gypsy cop. And a gypsy cop is someone that actually moves from apartment to department. And I want to talk to you about how to survive that traffic stop from a gypsy cop without getting shot by police in America. And because, you know, your Texas legislature, they're not paying attention. They don't care about you. Some bills have already been filed in this legislature to actually reinforce what is already happening now. You know, so there's some bills filed right now, you know, in support of law enforcement. And I'm not against law enforcement. You know, I think we need police. Absolutely. And I'll be the first one to tell you that. You know, I'll call the police whenever, you know, I think we need a police officer's presence. But there's a mentality there that needs to be addressed. There are a lot of things there that needs to be addressed. Do you know that I've been stopped before in Texas because the police officer wanted to verify that my car is being rented in good standings? I had a rental car. He ran the plates, found that it was a rental car, and pulled me over to call the rental car company to verify that it's been rented in good standing. I've been pulled over by police officers in Texas because my dog was blocking my view. Yes, in Texas, I was pulled over by a police officer because my dog was blocking my view. You know, I've been pulled over by a police officer in Texas because they said I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. I have 3 cameras in my vehicle. I have a camera that records outside the vehicle, one that records inside the vehicle, one that records out the back of the vehicle. Trust me, I was wearing my seatbelt. You know, I'm the only person in Texas that's been sued by 2 senior members of a police department in Texas, and both unsuccessful lawsuits. Now, I want to talk to you about relational policing. Now, this is a psychological game that police chiefs play, like Chief Art Acevedo. They love to play this game to give you this facade that they are taking care of your issues and things that you care about. When in fact, many police departments act like a street gang and police never criticize their coworkers. Many bad encounters go unnoticed until the video has surfaced. Then and only then, there is a 40% chance that something will be done about it. A common question I receive in our license to carry handgun courses is that, you know, can I shoot a police officer that is using greater force than necessary to make an arrest, or using greater force necessary to arrest someone else, and I'm witnessing this that's happening? That is a hard question to answer. You know, and we have Penal Code Section 9.31, 9.32 in the Texas Penal Code that states that, hey, you know, I'm going to tell you when we come back from the break. I'm going to tell you what the Texas law says. What does it say, you know, if you witness a police officer using greater force necessary to arrest you or arrest someone else? Can you use force or deadly force and stop that police officer? We're talking about how to survive a traffic stop from a gypsy cop, a cop that actually is allowed to retire and move from one police department to another. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Peace, this is Maj Toure. You're listening to Come and Talk It Radio with Michael Cargill.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
A dirty license plate led to a man being stopped, tased, and handcuffed. The traffic stop in New Braunfels led to one of its officers resigning, along with the police chief, partly due to this incident.
It was back in January when the officer pulled over the driver who was black. The charges, fleeing a police officer and interfering with public duties, later were dropped.
Although it was months ago, the New Braunfels mayor and city manager today released the dash cam and body cam videos of that encounter.
Jesse DeGuiallo now with what occurred and a warning. You might find this video and language disturbing.
I'm behind him, lights and siren, not acknowledging, speeds of 60.
Officer Caleb Meyer had been trying to pull over the vehicle before it finally drove into a parking lot off I-35. Meyer walked up with his gun pointed.
Put your hands on the wheel. Put your hands on the wheel!
The driver, who is black, Clarence Crawford, grows increasingly anxious, then angry.
What is your
please
problem?
Please don't sue me! Please don't sue
what
me!
What is
I'm
your
black.
Problem, dude?
Please don't sue me! Please! Please! Please!
Stop!
After a few more minutes, Meyer tells Crawford several times to get on the ground, face down, and then...
What the f*** you want me to do?
Stop!
What the f*** am I doing?
Stop! Lay out! Face down!
I'm down!
All the way!
I'm down!
Meyer would later say he only tased Crawford twice in the back of his knees. After handcuffing Crawford, Meyer tells him why he was stopped.
For a dirty license plate.
A dirty license plate.
I can't read it.
But Meyer managed to call it into dispatch, saying he'd guessed right. Meyer's backup is credited with de-escalating the situation. The video, now an example of how it should have been handled, says the mayor, instead of a traffic stop gone wrong.
In a manner that is not consistent with the way our officers are trained or expected to handle the situation.
After mediation over his complaint failed, Meyer resigned. And according to the city, so did the police chief, partly because of the incident. Any charges against Crawford that night dropped at the request of the New Braunfels Police Department.
It's important to note that this is an isolated incident and is not an indication of a norm within the department. We have taken multiple actions to avoid any situations like this in the future.
Jesse DeGollado, KSAT 12 News.
How to survive a traffic stop from a gypsy cop without getting shot by police in America. That's what we're talking about today. And we're, you know, that common question that we get is, you know, can I shoot a police officer that is using greater force than necessary to arrest me or arrest someone else? Well, on the 9.31, the Texas Penal Code, it's actually that section small b there. It says the use of force against another is not justified, and it's number two, to resist an arrest or search that the actor, which is you, you're the actor, knows is being made by a peace officer or by a person acting in a peace officer's presence at his direction, even though the arrest or search is unlawful unless the resistance is justified in subsection C. So that section there of the Texas Penal Code is saying that, hey, you cannot use force or deadly force to stop an officer, a police officer, who's actually trying to arrest you. So it's saying that, hey, this officer is trying to arrest you. You cannot use force or deadly force to stop them. But then it says, unless the resistance is justified under subsection C. All right, so when you go to subsection C, that section says the use of force to resist an arrest or search is justified if before the actor offers any resistance, the peace officer or person acting at his direction uses or attempts to use greater force than necessary to make the arrest or search, and when and to the degree the actor reasonably believes the force is immediately necessary to protect himself against the peace officer or person's use or attempted use of greater force is necessary. Now, that section there is saying, hey, yeah, you can use force, deadly force, to stop that a police officer who's using greater force than necessary to arrest you. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is a lose-lose situation. Even though the Texas Penal Code says, hey, if an officer is using greater force than necessary to arrest you, you can shoot this officer, use force or deadly force, and stop that officer. But guess what's going to happen if his backup arrives? And his backup arrives, or his or her backup arrives, they're going to shoot you. And that is a lose-lose situation. The best thing to do is to comply. You find yourself in a situation, handling like the first video we showed you. That first video, the guy remained calm. He kept his hand 10-2. He kept his voice down. He didn't yell, didn't scream. He maintained his composure. He answered the officer's questions, as many as he wanted to answer. You don't have to answer their questions. You don't have to talk at all. You know, and he just remained calm. And his parents taught him, you know, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do. And you got to make it through that stop. Get through that stop. And then if the officer is wrong, you get an attorney and you sue. You sue them. Unfortunately, hey, Felicia, you know, there's a little piece of money, little bucket of money that's sitting there, which are what? Your tax dollars?
All of our tax dollars.
All
of
your tax dollars that are sitting there. So that way when a person, you know, when a police officer does something wrong, you sue them and they will settle. The city will settle, not the police department, because you're not going to sue the police department, because the police department, you know, unfortunately, the person that's going to, you know, that controls the purse strings is the city council, the mayor. The city controls that. So, hey, you sue them and the city's going to pay. They're going to settle. And that's how you handle that situation. Don't let it escalate to the next level. Be the better person. You can't let that situation, let that officer push you or control your actions or control your emotions. Okay, you got to control yourself. Keep your composure. And remember, this person is trying to get a reaction from you. Don't let them give you the reaction that they want. Be the better person. And that's the way to handle that situation.
Well, that's so often how it happens in life, right? People react.
Okay, but why aren't we talking about the fact that we should be holding law enforcement to a higher standard than everyday citizens? Because they're the ones who have decided to take this job and put themselves in this role. Why are we not holding them to a better standard? Why are we not using that set aside money for cities to settle when cops do stupid stuff and using that to train them so that we don't have to settle, so that we don't have citizens who have done nothing wrong? A dirty license plate is not a crime. An air freshener hanging from your rearview mirror is not a crime. This is asinine that we're even having to have this conversation. Why don't we train law enforcement officers better and prevent this, quote, gypsy cop situation?
Yeah, kind of like we do commercial drivers, like truck drivers.
Absolutely.
Like we have commercial truck drivers and they do random drug tests on commercial truck drivers because, you know, they say, hey, you're a commercial truck driver driving on our, you know, America highways, our United States of America's highways, and you're a professional, you do this for a job, you need to be held to a much higher standard. So we're going to drug test you. We're also going to, you know, make sure that, hey, even if you get a speeding ticket or some type of traffic violation in your personal vehicle, we're going to hold that over your head when you're driving your commercial vehicle. You know, that's also going to go in that same type of license. You know, also, you're involved in an accident, you know, we're going to hold you, you know, accountable for that, even, you know, at work, because you got into an accident, you know, in your personal vehicle. Also, commercial truck drivers, do you know that they can only drive so many hours a day, so many hours a week? They're held to a much higher standard. But police officers are not held to that standard. Police officers are allowed to work, you know, an excessive amount of overtime. They're allowed to work an excessive amount of, you know, hours per day. you know, and, you know, they're not, they don't have that mandatory time off or breaks, mandatory breaks throughout the day.
I was going to say, who was that female police officer who shot her neighbor?
Amber Geiger.
Correct.
Yeah. She had been working overtime when that happened.
Yeah. And that's their fault. That's her fault. That's their fault because, you know, they're not monitoring. They're not paying attention to the fact that, you know, they're saying that our job is stressful.
Then you shouldn't be working overtime.
Exactly. Exactly. You need to dial back those hours. If your job is so stressful that you can't handle a conflict, you know, resolution situation and handle that situation in the correct way, then you need to take a little time off. Dial back those hours. Maybe do 8 hours. Maybe not 12. Maybe 10. Maybe, you know, do a 36-hour week instead of a 40-hour week. You know, maybe that's the solution.
And this is why, I mean, we've been talking for months as we've seen, you know, more of the situation with officers come out, that we have to do more mental health screenings instead of just having a chunk of money, again, setting aside to settle when cops screw up. We need to be investing in our law enforcement officers so that we have better ones.
Yeah, even my employees, they're like, hey, you're getting grouchy this week. You need to take some time off. Go home. Because I work 7 days a week. So I was like, okay, I'm getting grouchy. All right. So I need to take, you know, some time
I'm
off and go home.
Yeah.
And let someone else, you know, answer the calls.
I think you should take all the time off.
You know, Gary's taking over now.
and then, you know, also we find ourselves in situations like, you know, I think police officers need to cut down on some of those service calls. You know, service calls for service. For instance, there's a dog barking, a barking dog. You know, why in the world do we need a police officer?
You can call the police for that?
Yes.
What?
Yes, they do.
They'll respond.
There's
to
a
it?
Barking dog, and I need a police officer. You need to dial that stuff back. You know, let's only, you know, let police officers respond to calls. We really need a law enforcement
officer.
The police
will actually respond to a call like that?
Well, probably not nowadays. You know, heck, I can't even.
Man, I was gonna say not in Austin. No way.
Man,
right?
I can't even get them investigating the gun store break-in. So I'm
not too busy putting out.
They doing call the service.
They're too busy putting out trash fires under every overpass.
Right.
Every single day. If you don't have the Citizen app, get it. There's a trash fire at least 4 or 5 times a day in my neighborhood.
Yeah. Speaking of, there was a homeless guy, not camping, but you know, drinking a tall boy.
Camping's legal
by
now.
The creek. Behind my house. And I have a question about when I could or could not use deadly force, Michael. But you know what? We can get back to that when we come back from the break. Because I'm taking over the show now, so I'm taking us to break. and this is you're listening to Come and Talk It with Gary Fowles.
This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Yo, what's going on, guys? It's Jack Jones here, and I get my gun news from Michael Cargill on Come and Talk It.
Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
Meyer walked up with his gun pointed.
Put your hands on the wheel. Put your hands on the wheel.
The driver, who is black, Clarence Crawford, grows increasingly anxious, then angry.
What is your
please
problem?
Please don't sue me. Please don't sue
what
me.
What is
I'm
your
black.
Problem, dude?
Please don't sue me. Please, please, please.
Stop.
How to survive a traffic stop from a gypsy cop without getting shot by police in America. That's what we're talking about today. A new Braunfels police officer was allowed to resign. He wasn't fired. He was allowed to resign. And that's very important. Instead of being fired at the release of this body cam video you just watched, the term gypsy cop is used to refer to bad cops that float from department to department. This is common practice so that the officer doesn't lose his or her law enforcement credentials. You know, two wrongs don't make a right. Keep calm and comply because you could die. That's what I like to tell people in class. This is my motto. And so, you know, New Braunfels Police Department, they're going to have to answer for this because they allowed this guy, you know, they allowed him to quit. They didn't charge him with anything.
Which is what, hence the term gypsy cop. Because
that is
if he was fired, he wouldn't be allowed to go to another precinct.
Yeah. And so, and your experience, Gary, your question about your backyard, what happened?
Oh, yeah, okay, so...
Because a lot of people have questions about, can I shoot homeless people?
Yeah. So I just bought a house a couple of weeks ago, and there's a creek that runs through my backyard. It's down an easement. So it's, you know, I own the land leading right up to the creek, but it's downhill and there's a fence. And then there's about 30, 40 feet of this hill. So I'm not really concerned about, you know, a homeless person coming into my backyard. It could probably, it might happen, who knows. But my question is this. I'm on my balcony earlier looking over at the creek, and I see a homeless guy back there drinking a tall boy. And I'm wondering, at what point do I, you know, if this guy's coming onto my property, at what point do I engage him? How do I engage him? Do I call the police? I'm not a big fan of calling the police. I think it usually makes things muddies it up. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, and then at what point, you know, I mean, I know the answer to this, but for the folks at home, when can you use a firearm and use force to prevent, you know?
All right.
So, you know, someone's, your house backs up to a creek, and some people's house backs up to the green belt, you know, some type of land where typically, you know, you may have some homeless people camping out, and they may venture out onto your backyard, your property. You know, property that you own. You know, so the question is, can you use force or can you use deadly force and get this person off your property? Well, unfortunately, when it comes to criminal trespass, you know, you cannot use deadly force to get someone off your property for criminal trespass. And criminal trespass is basically you call the police show up, that police officer tells that person to leave, you know, or leave and don't ever come back. And if they refuse to leave, or they come back, then it's criminal trespass.
As opposed to regular trespassing.
Right. And then you can use, then once it's criminal trespass, you can use force to get them off the property.
Do the police need to have been involved for it to become criminal trespassing?
Yeah. So you got to
call the police. If I say, get out of here, and they come back, and the police haven't been involved, is that criminal trespassing, or is this still
be trespass, but it's not going to be criminal trespassing
until the police
got to get law enforcement involved. And so you can push them off the property. You can, you know, once it's criminal trespass, that's it. You know, you can push them off the property or something like that. You cannot use deadly force. You cannot shoot them. You can display the firearm.
Push them off the property?
Yeah, as long as you don't cause death or serious bodily injury.
Okay, whoa, hold on. I have questions here, Michael.
As long as you don't cause death or serious bodily
injury. I call the police. Police show up, tell the guy to get lost. He comes back, criminal trespassing. Can I hit him with the
my advice,
two count?
My advice is going to be to contact the police. Get the law enforcement involved, and then let the police officers arrest this person for criminal trespass, because then it becomes a Class B misdemeanor, and they will go to jail. So that's my best advice.
This guy has to wait around for the cops to show up.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. You put your hands on someone, that person can sue you.
If he's criminally trespassing on my property?
Yeah.
What?
So you injure this person. You hurt him. You injure him.
I can't give him the two-piece.
No. And so he'll sue you for your property, and then
he'll be the new owner.
The new owner.
And then you know what'll happen? Well, probably shouldn't say that on the radio. Okay, so then, you can't use, you said you can use force, though.
You can use force, but you cannot use deadly force.
Can you outline what force is? Because I'm not a boxer. My hands aren't deadly force.
You can push them. As long as it does not cause death or serious bodily injury. As long as it doesn't cause
sock him in the mouth?
As long as it does not cause death or serious bodily injury. Serious bodily injury, you can't bruise them. You can't make them bleed. That is serious bodily injury.
Can you give me a hard yes or hard? No bleeding?
Solution.
No, that's
what?
Right. I'm not an attorney, so I can't give you a hard answer.
What about bruising?
Just get a water hose.
I cannot
get
give really you legal advice. I'm not an attorney.
I do have a water hose in my backyard.
Okay, I cannot give you legal advice.
Well, I don't like these answers. That's why I keep asking you.
That's why.
Okay, so this guy comes back, criminal trespassing, and he's got a knife.
Now that changes things.
Now what are we talking about?
Now it's not about the property. It's now about you.
Okay.
Now you got to ask, okay, is this person trying to kill me? Are they trying to commit murder? And that's going to be the question you need to answer. Or are they trying to enter my home unlawfully or remove me from my home?
Well, now that's different. I understand.
Now you're talking about inside the house, the building, okay?
Well, the minute they even cross the threshold onto into your actual
home. It's burglary or,
then you blow
or castle doctrine.
Yeah,
then you can use force or deadly force.
Force
to stop
or deadly force. And it's not, you don't shoot to kill, you shoot to stop the threat.
Well, and when that threat stops, you stop.
Exactly.
That person may wind up dying, but you shoot to stop the threat.
Right. Now, another question. If I am outside and this person doesn't have a knife, but they're approaching me aggressively and they're coming at me and they're invading my space, like on my property, and they come at me, then I can defend myself. Yes.
Well, the way the law reads is, you know, when it comes to, you know, that, you know, words are not enough, you know, so it says the use of force against another is not justified, you know, in response to a verbal provocation alone. So sticks and stones may break your bones, but talking is not going to hurt you. So verbal is not enough. Just because they say, even if they say, I'm going to kill you, that's not enough.
No.
That's not enough to use force.
I'm talking about somebody that's coming at me and they start swinging on me.
Right. Then if you think they're trying to, the question you have to ask yourself, is this person trying to kill me?
Well, no, if they're just trying to, you know, beat me up, then I can.
Then you're not justified using force or deadly force to stop them.
What?
That's right.
I can't fight them?
Hey.
The question is,
are they trying to kill you? So when it comes to you using force,
no.
When it comes to using force or deadly force, you have to ask yourself, is it aggravated kidnapping? Is it murder? Is it sexual assault? Aggravated sexual assault? Robbery? Aggravated robbery?
But if somebody attacks me with throwing some hands at me,
they trying to kill you?
No.
Then you cannot use force or deadly force to stop them.
Even if I'm fighting?
That is correct.
Like
okay, so
fight?
Is this a question
both of...
Both
of you are going to jail. That's disorderly conduct.
But tell me,
On my own property?
You're asking, is he trying to kill you? Or are you asking, do you think he's trying to kill you?
That is correct.
So it's about what you think.
What do you
not
perceive?
Not necessarily what
And
this
the way the law reads
is,
do you reasonably believe the force or deadly force is justified?
It's your belief.
Do you reasonably believe this person is trying to kill you?
Oh, my God.
Your belief. Or a reasonable person's belief.
Look, if somebody's criminally trespassing on your property, you can't...
You can use force?
You can't whoop them?
You can use force, but not deadly force if it's criminal trespass. When it comes to deadly force in your property, here are the things you can use for deadly force to protect your property. Okay. So if a person's committing arson, which is what?
Starting a fire.
That's right. So let's say you're downtown Austin, and then you got a protest that's turned into a riot, and you're burning some buildings down downtown Austin. You can use force, deadly force, to stop them.
You mean kind of like Kyle Rittenhouse?
It doesn't even have to be.
And then
your
I have to
property.
Pay a $2 million bond.
Hey,
are you kidding me?
It is what it is. All right. So for arson, doesn't matter if it's daytime or nighttime. You can use force or deadly force to stop arson.
All right. So hey, that's a good transition into another story we're talking
about.
Hold on.
What about burglary? What's burglary?
Somebody coming onto your property.
No. So someone breaking into your home, entering your
breaking
home.
Breaking into them.
So someone's going into your home unlawfully. So someone's entering your home unlawfully or building or, you know, a habitation. You can use force, deadly force to stop them. Doesn't matter if it's daytime or nighttime. All right?
Okay.
We good? Now, what's robbery? What do you think robbery is?
Is that a burglar with a weapon?
No. Someone says, hey, give me your wallet. Give me your phone. You know, they take it from you with force.
Okay.
That's robbery. You can use force, deadly force to stop robbery. And then aggravated robbery is going to be production of a weapon. You know, they hold a gun to you. Give me your phone. That's aggravated robbery. So robbery and aggravated robbery is going to be taking something from you with force. When it comes to theft, if a person walks into a grocery store and they swipe something from the shelf of the grocery store and stick it in their pocket, that is theft. If a person walks into the grocery store and they say, hey, give me the money out of the cash register.
Aggravated robbery.
That's aggravated robbery.
Okay. Now, so if somebody came onto my property.
But for theft, you can only use deadly force or theft at night, not during the daytime.
Okay. So if somebody came onto my property and said, give me your shoes. Mm-hmm. That's all they did. Just give me your shoes. I could shoot that person.
Yeah, it's robbery.
But if somebody comes on my property and starts throwing punches at me, I can't fight back.
That's why.
I'm running for office. This is ridiculous.
No.
These laws are asinine. I mean, that's crazy to me. Am I the only person here that feels like that? Like, if somebody comes onto your property, you can't fight them? If they attack you, that's insane.
Well, what if you feel like your life is in danger?
I think it really just matters. And again, it's not legal advice. It just depends on what type of narrative you have when the police do show up.
Yeah, so it's essentially just crafting your criminal defense right off the bat.
Well,
but
I mean, that's what we talked about.
It needs to be a reasonable person's belief, because it's up to a jury, right? If it goes to that, then it's going to be, okay, would a reasonable person believe this or not?
Right.
Because this is the same concept that we talked about with the Garrett Foster shooting. What did the individual who fired his gun say to the police when he got there? I felt like I was in danger, right? He had a valid reason to use force or deadly force. And that's why that case has gone the way it
is. Oh, well, then the police get there, I say, I'm going to talk to my lawyer. That's what I'm going to say.
Remember, I can't give you legal advice. So, you know, you got to remember, you have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Okay, you can't testify or give statements against yourself to put, you know, to criminalize yourself. So get your attorney and, you know, talk with your attorney and before you make any statements. Because if a person walks into your backyard and they say, hey, give me your wallet, now you can use force, a deadly force, and stop them.
Right.
Or, hear me out, get an electric fence and then just sit outside and see what happens.
But under Texas Penal Code 9.44, if it causes death to serious bodily injury,
just don't
now
turn
you're in
the
trouble.
Voltage up that high. Keep it like low.
So watch out. It cannot cause death or serious bodily injury. So remember that.
See, all right.
I
this
just
is
told
Gary
you.
Faust with Come and Talk.
I just told you.
I'm cooing this show. I'm
this is not
you.
The Trump show. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Peace. This is Maj Toure. You're listening to Come and Talk It Radio with Michael Cargill.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking about how to survive a traffic stop from a gypsy cop. A gypsy cop, that's when, you know, a police officer is allowed to quit and go from one police department to another. They're not fired for either committing a crime or, you know, or violating, you know, the police department's policy. Now, we got a couple of questions here. You know, Thomas Harrison says, say, Michael, what charges could be filed against the New Braunfels cop? Well, Thomas, let me ask you this. What if you jumped out of your vehicle, Thomas, and you pointed a gun at someone? What do you think you'd be charged with? The exact same thing. Why should that police officer be able to point a gun at someone just because they have a dirty license plate? You know, that's assault with a deadly weapon. Come on, Thomas, be serious now. You know, why? He should be held to a much higher standard than that. Yeah. All right. So just because a person didn't pull over as fast as you wanted them to pull over, sometimes you got to take yourself out of another person's body. Now, I don't like how the driver responded. Right. I don't like how he conducted himself as the driver. Absolutely not. You know, I would not have conducted myself in that way. But you got to, you know, you got to take yourself out of someone else's, you know, out of their body, out of their eyes. You know, actually, you need to look at it in their eyes and say, hey, you know what? Maybe this person's scared, nervous, whatever. Something's going on. Maybe, you know, something's happening in their life, and try to figure things out. You know. Also, what did you say? Someone else says, you know, commercial drivers fall under DOT, Department of Justice. And Thomas, you say, hey, do you want law enforcement to fall under federal agencies? Well, you know what? I just want law enforcement officers to be held to a standard. A standard. I'm not talking about a higher standard. I'm talking about a standard. Because a police officer does something wrong, they are the only ones in the world who are allowed to investigate themselves and clear themselves of any wrongdoing. Who else does that?
The government?
Who else does that? You know, really? Are you guys serious right now?
Well, Michael.
If I can clear myself of any wrongdoing, let me tell you, I will never do anything wrong.
I think you should run for sheriff again.
Constable.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, they don't want that in here. And they don't want that in Travis County.
They don't want a black man as a constable?
Yeah.
Why?
He was enforcing the law. So he was enforcing the dirty license plate. Are you really going to justify this dirty license plate and pulling someone over for
no,
that?
No, it's he has enforcing in quotes.
What about the guy that it's had the enforcing. Air freshener? What about enforcing. The guy that had the air freshener? Well, so he was enforcing the law too.
And enforcing. It's in quotes. Read the thing.
Oh, okay. All right. So enforcing. All right. I'll let y'all have. All right. Okay. Because you know I'm getting defensive right now.
Now, hey, Michael, I do want to point out that Jackie... Rositas says, and make sure you have Law Shield if you are an LTC holder.
That's right.
U.S. and Texas Law Shield. Can send me a commission check, Edwin Walker.
Thomas, I get it. You know, you're right. You know, just, yeah. It's crazy, though. It's you have to be the better person, the bigger person, if you want to get through a lot of these stops. And like I told you guys earlier in the show, you know, I've been put in situations where, you know, hey, you know, I've had to, you know, justify why I rented a car in good standings in Texas. Pulled over by a Texas police officer who called the rental car company, the company that I rented a vehicle from, to verify that I rented this vehicle in good standing. Who does that? Why is that any of his business?
You keep saying that we have to do better and we have to be respectful, quote unquote, but I don't think that's true. I think law enforcement has to be better. I think that in America, you're innocent until proven guilty.
No, that guy.
And the police have the burden of proof to prove that I have done something wrong that warrants me being stopped, searched, and potentially detained. It is on them. It is their job to do that.
Yeah, but that guy that got pulled over still could have handled it better.
Well, exactly. You always have the ability to handle something better. But the simple fact of the matter is there's a long history of cops not handling it correctly.
Yeah.
And he has every reason to be scared. Do you act like a fool when you're scared? No, not condoning that.
Yeah.
But it should be, there needs to be whole reforms around law enforcement, and the burden of proof should be on them.
Yeah.
They should not approach any traffic stop or any situation. Most situations where the citizen is immediately in the wrong. If you're going to pull your gun on me because I have a dirty license plate, I'm going to sue you for everything that you're worth.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You mean you're suing yourself?
Exactly.
You're suing yourself and you're suing me.
Exactly. And we're all going back to qualified immunity, which we've been talking about for the past 10 months.
Hey, you know what?
They're going to pay. They will pay. The Bruffles, they will play.
So
the city is going to pay.
Yeah, let's go to the next story.
No, they're going to pay. They're in this situation here, they're going to pay.
Yeah, but the people are going to pay.
That is true.
But we're
well,
beating
the people
a dead
need
horse.
The people need to stand up and stop allowing this, you know, these
stop
people to
pass.
Stop paying
their taxes.
No, stop allowing them to take a pass, a free pass.
We went two different ways with that.
No, why are you allowing them to take that free pass? We need to go, our elected officials go to the Capitol here January 2021.
Why are we allowing the free pass?
Yeah.
Because we keep paying all these taxes to allow that to happen. That's actually genuinely my opinion on that. If people were like, yeah, I'm just not going to pay my taxes anymore, what are they going to do?
They need to have an independent agency take a look at these cases and actually be able to prosecute and fire this police officer.
I think we need to dump some tea in the harbor.
They need to get rid of,
you know what I'm saying?
You are a government employee. You shouldn't have a union. What other government employees have a union? I'll wait.
What other government employees?
Yeah, what
teachers?
Other
government?
Probably a lot. I don't know. I have no idea.
They shouldn't be allowed to have a union.
The teachers?
Agree.
Yeah, no, they should.
No one should have a union.
No one. Well, government employees should not have a union.
So
the people, we're your union.
I mean, I also
think... The people are the union.
I also think that...
What do you think, Zach?
We're not very united right now.
Yeah, I don't know. We are not a union.
Hey, there you go.
We can call ourselves that, but I could also call myself a dog.
I also think that we need to have better systems in place for law enforcement officers to report poor behavior by their coworkers and them not be condemned for it.
Snitches get stitches.
That's also part of the problem.
You feel me?
And it's that mentality that's the issue. We have to have, they have to have some sort of internal accountability or this problem is never going to rectify itself.
Yeah, agreed.
It's just like that situation in California, the Christopher Dorner shootings. One of his fellow officers used excessive force. He reported it. They fired him instead, ruined his life. He flipped his lid and then went on a killing spree.
Yeah.
You know, some could argue that could be prevented had they just listened and actually did an internal investigation and had he had the support he needed when he reported that. We need to have better systems in place.
All right. So, Michael, can we talk about Rittenhouse?
Let's go for it.
Okay. So, Kyle Rittenhouse, accused of killing two people, shooting three, with an AR-15 in Kenosha, Wisconsin, during riots and arson.
Yeah. Justified.
Has finally.
Fully justified.
Finally been released from jail.
If I was there, I would have done the same thing.
On a $2 million cash bond. $2 million.
Political prisoner.
What do you think, Zach?
Political prisoner, fully justified.
You think he's a political prisoner?
Justified shooting.
That's a lot of money for a bond right there.
Zach, that's a lot of money for a 17-year-old that defended himself with a rifle.
A 17-year-old that gets stimulus checks.
The people that he shot, weren't they convicted felons?
One of them, I believe, was a child molester. One of them was a wife beater.
The one that had the gun, was he a convicted felon?
Oh, yeah. I think he was a felon in possession of a gun.
Felon, and he hasn't been charged.
I will say this. I think felons should be allowed to buy a gun, so that doesn't bother me. But the child molester part is pretty weird, and I don't, you know.
Whether you like it or not, the law says you're convicted felon, you cannot be in possession of a firearm except in Texas at home after 5 years. After 5 years after you're off paper in Texas.
So you're telling me that if you're a felon, living at home, breaks into your house, you got to wait 5 years to get a gun and defend yourself.
5 years.
So,
that's right.
So, I mean, it doesn't take 5 years for somebody to break into your house and kill you.
I'll see you at the Texas State Capitol. I'll see you at the Capitol.
So that doesn't make any sense.
I'll see you at the Capitol. Come January
2021. How come somebody's allowed to be... I mean, if you don't trust somebody with a gun, they should probably not be let out of prison.
I'll see you at the Capitol come 2021. What do you think about universal background checks? What do you think those are? Those people that are using that code word.
What do you mean?
Universal background checks.
Elaborate.
What do you think that is? Universal background checks is so that even if you're doing a private sale from one person to another, you would have to get a background check. All gun transactions will have to do a background check. So that means that even if I'm a convicted felon, I did something 30 years ago, and I decide, you know, okay, my 5 years are up now. I can have a gun at home for personal protection. I should be able to go and buy a gun from Felicia here after 5 years. Well, if you pass universal background checks, you're not going to be able to do that because even universal background checks, it's a private sale. You have to get a background check done.
And then you get a background check done, and then what?
You're not going to pass a federal background check because you're a convicted felon.
So a felon can't buy a gun from a FFL?
Because dealers follow federal law. And the federal law says you cannot purchase a firearm if you're a convicted felon.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
That is correct.
I didn't realize that was the implication.
Convicted of domestic violence.
Well,
so you need to don't date anyone that's going to call the police on you. All right, Gary?
Next story.
I like this last story.
All right, Austin American Statesman hitting us with the good news here. We got bad news actually, but a good story. A memo says that an Austin police officer has been suspended for driving recklessly and getting into a crash and pulling their personal firearm on another driver on their way to work.
Ooh.
This is Michael Cargill.
This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Coley on Noir, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're talking about how to survive a traffic stop from a gypsy cop. Now, Jackie says, so does the FBI investigate police officers' wrongdoing, or who does this because it seems they are not doing a good job with this at all, if police officers can just resign with no consequences of their actions? I think the FBI can investigate. Also, the Texas Rangers, because Thomas says, hey, could the Texas Rangers be used to investigate LEO complaints? And yes, absolutely. And that's who should be investigating this stuff, Texas Rangers.
Insightful comment from Thomas Harrison. I like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah. All right, so we're talking about what?
We're talking about an Austin police officer, Thomas Tuminelli, suspended on November 11th for driving recklessly, getting into a crash, and pulling his personal firearm on another driver. On his way to work. Now, I want to tell you something.
Was he in uniform?
He was out of uniform.
He was on his way to work.
Wow. And his suspension will last until... All right, can somebody give me a drum roll? Casey, can you give me a drum roll sound effect? This guy's... January 9th. That's it. January 9th.
That's it.
He's suspended for less than 2 months.
Without pay? With or without. That makes a big difference.
I think it's irrelevant. This guy pulled a gun on somebody after getting into a car wreck, and he's not even fired. He didn't resign. He's going to be on probation for a full year. Are you kidding me? This guy pulled a gun on somebody,
so
Michael.
Should be in jail.
Yes! This guy should clearly be in jail.
He's a police officer.
He's a police officer. He's a police officer.
A lot of stress. A lot of stress.
That's BS, Michael.
A lot of stress. So, you know, he's working long hours.
You know what they should do as punishment? They should probably have him work like 14 or 15 hour shifts.
That's why I try to become a constable, so that way I can just pull a gun on someone.
That is unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
I can go out here and just do whatever I want to do.
Dude, if I, Michael, let me ask you something. If I was driving recklessly, got into a car wreck, and then pulled a gun on the guy I got into a wreck with, he was brake checking people.
Right.
If you read the memo, he was brake checking people and driving like 90 miles an hour.
Wow.
Literally. Hmm. Now, I'm not saying that. We all haven't done that occasionally. Felicia, don't say what I think you're
going
to say.
I just don't understand how he was brake checking people if he was also going 90 miles per hour.
Exactly. That's how reckless this was.
That's insane.
He's driving. I think it said he reached speeds of 96 miles an hour.
In Austin?
There's got to be a video somewhere. I know there's a video.
How did he reach that speed in Austin?
Tuminelli was speeding on Interstate 35 at times. This is a quote here. At times at an average speed of 96 miles per hour, the memo says. Tuminelli was also tailgating a driver as well as cutting in front of him and braking, also known as brake checking, the memo says. Tuminelli, another driver, got off 35, and Tuminelli sped toward a stop sign. He abruptly stopped at Red River Street and East MLK Boulevard, the memo says, and the driver behind Tuminelli rear-ended him.
Ooh.
The dash cam footage then shows officer. There's dash cam footage of this, so we'll get that in like 2 months or something. Mm. But Tuminelli jumped out of his vehicle in an already tense situation and brandished his personal firearm.
Hold on. You said there's dash cam video. So was he in a city vehicle?
You can only assume, right? This is insane.
He was off duty.
This guy's
going
to. I think it's unbelievable that this dude is still on the police force.
See, when you say there's dash cam, that tells me it was a city. He was in a city vehicle.
You have a dash cam.
Off duty.
Right. Yeah, but how would they have. Maybe they did access the footage. You know, it's like a toss up. I don't know.
I'm willing to bet. Yeah, we'll see. Time will tell. Time will tell. We're just guessing here. It'll come out. It will.
It will.
What do you think, Felicia?
I'm just so mad.
Let me tell you something.
Felicia says
like
I'm
if I drive that way.
Felicia says I'm being a lot less status.
Personal dash cam. It was his personal vehicle.
It was his personal vehicle?
That's what it sounds like. Casey, yeah? Yeah, it was.
As part of
his suspension, Tuminelli will have to be evaluated by an Austin police psychologist. There's them investigating themselves again, like you always talk about.
Yeah, they should definitely go to a third party psychologist.
Or another qualified professional who the police chief designates.
I've been sleeping good.
The memo says. You know how many times this article says, the memo says?
Been wetting my bed. I just need to get a pass.
What?
Felicia says I'm being a lot less status now.
Now, Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, but you personally have like four or five personal therapists, correct?
I do have a therapist.
Four or five. I remember reading a Facebook post that you made that said,
Not four or five.
Have no idea. I've had four therapists tell me this week that.
Oh, no. That have come and taken our class.
Yeah, I know. I'm just busting your balls over there, Michael.
Private lesson, but not that I personally laid in their bed and divulged my issues or problems.
That
sounds like an inappropriate relationship with your therapist.
Different kind of therapist.
All right.
I meant to say sofa.
We got 10 minutes, Mr. Cargill. I got three more stories. We want to talk bump stock prosecution.
Ooh.
We want to talk two Oregon counties make it a crime for police to enforce most gun
laws.
Stock,
do bump stock last.
Okay. So what do you want to do next? You want to do a strict? Let me hit the audience here with some statistics real quick.
Uh-oh.
According to a Gallup poll, support for stricter U.S. gun laws is at the lowest level since 2016. So the lowest level in 4 years. And I just want to give you, these are just quick statistics. I'm not going to waste a lot of time on this. 57% of those polled want stricter gun laws. 9% want less strict. 34% want to keep them as they are. GOP support for stricter gun laws has fallen 14 points since 2019 to a new 22% low. And 25% of Americans favor a 25% of Americans favoring a handgun ban in the U.S. is near a record low as well. I just wanted to throw those out there because I think that's Casey, can you pull up that story and then scroll down to the graph where it says Americans' preference for gun laws 1990 to 2020? If you look at the number of people who want stricter gun laws, back in 91, 92, it was at 78%. Mm. So just to give you a comparison, it was at its lowest since 1992. It was at its lowest in 2012 at 44%. So it's going down. It's down at 57. I would assume that with all the turmoil going on, it's probably going to keep getting lower. So that's good news for us in the gun industry.
Mm-hmm. Bad news for anyone who actually wants to have ammo.
ammo's expensive. And you know, over there at Central Texas Gunworks, they actually charge you more if you're an employee of Central Texas Gunworks, Michael.
It's called a service fee.
Yeah. Oh my God. All right. And then real fast, I'll hit you with the two Oregon counties have now made it a crime for police to enforce most gun laws. Northwest Oregon's Columbia County and Eastern Oregon's Umatilla County approved ordinances directing county workers, police included, to ignore the state's extreme risk protection law, the concealed carry law, and most other state regulation of guns. Passed in 2017, Oregon's extreme risk protection law gives judges discretion to remove guns from people not convicted of a crime who will show signs that they might shoot themselves or someone else. I believe these are, correct me if I'm wrong, Felicia, Zach, Michael, if they're referring to quote-unquote red flag laws. That's what it sounds like, yeah?
Right, that's correct.
So, essentially, that people are taking steps to tell police to ignore red flag laws. This is good news.
We have several of these counties in Texas as well. They're Second Amendment sanctuary counties, too. And it's something that we've kind of seen grow ever since what happened in Virginia when they tried to do all of those crazy gun laws. I don't remember if that
with
was
Northam.
Yeah, I don't remember if that was in 2019 or this year.
It was 18. It was 18 yesterday. Or 19. Okay. 19 probably.
Time doesn't matter anymore in the year 2020. But we've been seeing that trend increase kind of across the country ever since the Virginia debacle. So it's interesting that Oregon.
Well, wasn't there that one guy, the police surrounded his house for a red flag law? You remember what I'm talking about? I think his Instagram name was like Whiskey Warrior or something.
Yes. That was
an insane
situation. I think that
situation.
Was in New York. I will have to check
was
that.
It?
I'll have
I think
to
it was
that.
Northeast. I think you're right.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be a little more to that story.
Yeah. That was a complicated one. But regardless, that was a big red flag law story. Okay. So also, in other good news for firearms, the first bump stock prosecution under Trump edict backfires here in Texas, in Houston.
In Houston of all places.
Of all places.
Why do you say Houston of all places?
Because they're so incredibly anti-gun in Houston. And they have Cheat R. Acevedo, who's kind of been...
It's a federal
poisoning
case,
poisoning the waters there as well.
It's a federal case.
A
so federal court.
Prosecutor withdrew the unique charge before the trial began for a Houston man accused of owning the device. However, the defense was prepared to call an ATF expert to testify that bump stocks, attachments that cause a rifle to fire more rapidly, do not render a semi-automatic gun a machine gun or fully automatic. Senior U.S. District Judge Gray H. Miller convicted Aja Dingra 44 on three remaining counts that he lied when he purchased a handgun, rifle, and ammunition and illegally possessed a weapon as a person who had been committed for mental illness. This is very pertinent to what is going on with your lawsuit, Michael. Mm-hmm. So you want to elaborate on what happened when you and I were you were in district court here in federal district court here in Austin.
So I'll tell you when we come back from the break, because you know that case, you know, the outcome I think was a little different, and it may be a little different, but then this case here in Houston may play.
Set some sort of a precedent, possibly. Yeah,
possibly. You know, maybe that judge, you know, here in Austin will take a look at that and say, okay, well, let me rule a different kind of way. So we'll find out. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Hey, this is AWR Hawkins, Breitbart News, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking about how to survive a traffic stop from a gypsy cop without getting shot by police. Now, we showed you a video in the beginning, you know, the top of the hour there, and we started the show. We talked about, you know, this one gentleman who was stopped by a police officer because he had an air freshener, you know, hanging from his rearview mirror. And so that was the purpose of the stop. And then the officer was, you know, did, you know, what we call fishing. You know, he went on a fishing expedition and trying to see, you know, if he can get anything out of this stop. Well, he first followed this guy for like 10 minutes or so. And then, you know, he pulled him over, say, I stopped you because you had an air freshener. And then, you know, he went to asking him, okay, do you have any drugs? Do you smoke marijuana? Is there any marijuana inside the vehicle? He's like, no, I already told you no, you know. And he said, okay, we need coke, crack, you know, just ask him everything. Went down the whole list there and said, dude, no, you know, I'm just going to see my dad, going to visit my dad, you know. Can I, you know, go from point A to point B? You know, it's America. My goodness, what a concept. And so this officer continued to dig and, you know, and eventually, you know, just let the guy off with a warning for having a refresher, air freshener on his rearview mirror. That is crazy. Am I a status, Felicia?
No, you're doing so good today.
Am I doing good?
You're doing so good.
All right, good.
We're working on it. It's taken me a little over 3 years.
Everyone should be so proud.
Okay, Michael, what I was going to ask you about the about this bump stock thing. When we were in court, we were talking about how you can essentially replicate what a bump stock does by tying a belt around your arm.
Okay.
So now here's my question. If that is, if you can do the same thing with a belt.
Like a belt loop?
Uh-huh. Yeah. What do you think?
Or your finger, if you just say you have a really fast finger, ladies.
Ladies.
I'm listening. Casey, I know Casey's looking at me.
Watch it.
I have to throw it in there real quick.
Well, I'm just wondering how you think that, how is something like that going to affect if more of these bump stock prosecutions go to court? Because when I was there listening to the argument, I thought the most pertinent thing was the fact that you can replicate it with a belt loop. So right. What I mean,
and also, you know, they went really weird too, because the judge also said that, you know, he asked the question, was, is this kind of like, so what you're saying is the bump stock kind of helps you, you know, fire a, you know, like a rifle, kind of like a shotgun where you have to push out, you know, to fire it, you know, kind of like a shotgun. So he was comparing it to a shotgun. You know, I'm like, God, you guys are way off base here. It's not a machine gun. It does not make a machine gun. And so I think that, you know, I maybe, you know, with that, with him asking that question, you know, he'll maybe come back and say, okay, clearly a bump stock device does not make a shotgun, a machine, you know, shotgun. You know, so you can't compare, you can't say that it makes it a machine gun. On a rifle. So, yeah.
Right.
I think, you know, we're on to something. And you know, I'm thinking that with the Houston case, you know, eventually, you know, we're going to make it to the Supreme Court, hopefully with one of these cases, and, you know, get a ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. But we got to get over to the Court of Appeals, and we have to get our case from Texas to New Orleans to the Court of Appeals in New Orleans, and then from there to the U.S. Supreme Court.
All right. Answered all my questions.
All right. Any other news stories out there?
Let's see here. We covered all these two things. Support for that.
Speaking of weapons, did you hear about that Chinese microwave weapon that they just released? So there's a disputed area of the border between India and China, and there were a bunch of Indian soldiers there at the outpost, and then all of a sudden, within about a minute, they all got sick and started throwing up, and they could hardly stand.
Oh, wow.
And India didn't release this information until last week.
And did India use it?
No, the Chinese used it on the Indians to get them away from this disputed area and then move in.
Wow. Ooh.
Chinese are going to take over the world.
It's There's more of them than anyone else.
There's more Chinese people, and they've got no ethics.
Do you have any nuclear weapons?
Well, they have these directed energy weapons, which, I mean, I'm
microwaves.
Sure they yeah.
They've got coronaviruses. They've got a lot of stuff,
right,
Michael.
Right. I forgot about that.
Oh, you just wait until they send those killer Chinese hornets back over
here. Yeah, I forgot about the Rona.
The Rona, the hornets, the microwave weapons. Yeah, Kung Fu.
The city is saying, hey, the mayor is saying everyone should stay home. Don't travel. Stay home. You know, don't go to grandma's house for Thanksgiving. And let me tell you, I don't think anyone's listening because traffic has been crazy in this town.
Yeah.
Crazy. Everyone has forgotten how to drive because they haven't done it in so long.
City ever knew how to drive.
It's just bad. You know, there's so many people on the roads that, like, this past week, it's been insane. It's back to normal almost. You know, especially when I leave at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, it's definitely back to normal. There's traffic bump of the bumper. You know, it takes me, you know, an hour to get from South Austin to North Austin now.
Yeah, it took me an hour to get from the Domain to South Park Meadows on Friday.
Yeah.
You ain't driving fast enough then.
Well, I'd get pulled over. I'm not special. I'm not a cop.
I drive however I want. I also have like 8 speeding tickets.
Man, don't say that. They're going to find you.
Yeah, I don't have any speeding tickets.
I don't have any tickets.
I have a dash cam.
No matter what that computer
says.
Well, no,
I've paid a bunch of them off.
I try to behave myself.
You know?
And then someone's quiet over there. He hasn't said anything. He has a
Jeep.
Oh, I
don't get tickets.
Yeah, he has a Jeep. He can't go anywhere.
Trust me.
That thing
I can go anywhere.
It's so slow.
It's not the Jeep that's slow. It's Zach. I'm like, is that Zach or my grandma?
No, it's
Who's driving that car?
Definitely Jeep. I'm always passing Jeeps all the time. They're so slow.
Both.
I just always obey the law, guys. I never break the law.
No, it's just your Jeep has no power. That's what it is. No power.
You run over your, what is it, Denali?
You got to catch up to it first, though. you gotta hit the pedal on the right and kind of push a little bit. And just, because it's just not doing it at all. I know. What are you going to do?
You do drive fast. You drive fast like I do.
Do I?
Yeah, you beat me when we did a race one time.
Oh, no, I don't race.
Oh, I don't race.
No.
Like, we don't go drag racing after the show every Sunday.
No.
Come on.
No racing.
Just to see
here.
Who can get to the restaurant faster.
negative.
Yeah, I made all that up. Yeah, none of this happens.
Although I did win last week, I just want the record.
Liars. All liars. All right, so what are you going to do for Thanksgiving, Zach?
Oh, I'm just going to follow the orders and not go anywhere.
So you're going out of town to your parents' house?
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving.
Aren't you worried you're going to kill your parents?
Oh, well, not if I go get tested.
And
are you going to get tested?
Yeah.
And what if you have it?
Have
what are you going to do then?
No.
Oh, he's not going to get tested because you've been there like 5-6 times.
Yeah. Dude, you're a murderer.
No. Honestly, I wouldn't tell anyone if I did get a test. That's my medical records. That's like. Do you tell people? Have you had your HIV test? Do you tell people that information?
Everywhere I go, it's the first thing I tell people. I say, look, I don't have AIDS.
Has anyone not ever heard of HIPAA laws? My goodness, I don't tell anyone. I'm not telling anyone my medical history.
What about your parents?
What about them?
Are you going to tell them?
I would tell my parents, yes, that's my family. That's a whole nother story. You know, but I'm not telling someone I don't know, my customers or whatever, my medical history.
You don't tell your customers you don't have HIV Corona or anything?
No, we don't talk
Only
about that.
Only certain customers.
Hey, customers, you know. Hey, Michael, when's the last time you had your HIV test? No, we don't. That doesn't come up in LTC class.
I mean, whenever I'm out doing interviews for the show, I always tell people, hey, I don't have AIDS. You know, don't worry.
It's the first kind of interviews you talking about?
Hey, look, let me tell you something. You ever been to the casting couch, my friend? Watch it.
Felicia?
Yeah, I'm just going to go see my family.
What?
Oh, no, he was asking if you have AIDS.
Oh, sorry.
No,
we decided that we're keeping medical records.
Yeah, secret. What are you going to do for Thanksgiving?
I'm doing what I always do, going home.
You going to go home?
Yeah.
You're not afraid you're going to kill your parents?
So we sat down. We had a conversation about it. My stepdad never stopped going to work. My brother never stopped going to work. Our I mean, they all work in the oil industry. They have to work so that we can put gas in our cars. We take precautions, but we are all relatively healthy. We wash our hands. We don't lick floors. And we've gone this whole time, and I'm the only one in my family
who's
gotten
it. Why'd you
say
floors specifically? Do you lick windows or ceilings?
I just feel...
Do you eat insulation?
This is complete speculation. I'm just saying, like, I have done literally nothing differently since this happened.
Neither have I.
No one in my family has really altered anything, and we haven't gotten it. I'm not the healthiest person in the world. We're relatively healthy, but...
But you could have gotten it and been asymptomatic. You know what I mean?
So technically, I'm the only person in my family who had it, but I had it in February before it was a big deal if you had it.
Oh, before quarantine, pre-quarantine. Yeah, I think I got it back last December.
So no one else in my family has gotten it, despite the fact that there has been little to no change in anything that we've been doing. Yeah. And... When we look at the data and we look at the recovery rates, I just don't think it's something that I have to worry about. I know that if my parents get sick, I will 100% go home and take care of them, regardless of if I get it or get it again. And we will pull through like a family, and we will do the same thing we always do.
What are you going to do, Gary?
For Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I'm going to go out to...
Your mom's here.
California.
So she's already got the Rona.
I'm going to have a little special Thanksgiving with my family. Just me. And my family, son.
All right. Well, as always, more guns equals less crime. Go out there and buy yourself a gun. You've been listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Keep your change.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.